power forever, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 You know, a lot of people are just thinking, well, when's the glory going to fall? And I would just tell you that it depends on you. He's ready. He's ready to encounter with you. He's ready. He's ready for you to encounter his love. He's ready for it. He's ready to come in here. He'll come in here in a glory cloud. He'll do whatever we want him to. He's a good God. He's a good God. People get so dull. They just get so dull in their flesh that they're not aware of him. They're just all the time just, you know, in the world all the time. But if you just take these moments when we're together like this, yeah, Lord. And this is not a time for you to feel guilty about it. Well, I don't feel like I love the Lord like maybe you do. Well, begin. Just start. Just court him. Think about him. Talk about him. Instead of going, well, I don't feel like that. It's not about feelings when you start anyway. It's about your choice. I choose to worship him. I choose to give him glory. I choose to call him worthy. I choose to. You got to start out where you are. So we worship you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence, Lord. We bless you today. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow. Flow through the hearts. Just take a few more minutes here and just close your eyes and don't think about what anybody else is doing. Just you and God right now. Just you and the Lord right now. Just say something to him. Just honor him. Just feel him. Just touch him. Let him touch you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is healing muscles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's an ear infection that is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just in this atmosphere right now, there's someone in here and you have some lack. You need something in your life and you know what it is. And if you'll ask him right now, you'll have it. In the next few days, you'll have that need met in the next few days. God's a giver. You start worshiping him and he can't help but love you back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. We bless you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's see where the Lord wants us to go. I think if you need prayer for your body, if you'll come up right now, we'll go ahead and pray for you right now. The rest of you, if you'll just pray, you can sit and pray. Debbie, will you play? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It should be ready for you. We're going to pray for bodies. Anybody else? Come on down. It's time to receive your healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is it. Praise the Lord. That's good. Everybody's well. Father, we lift up Mr. Eldred today, and we thank you that he's healed. Miss Pauline is healed in Jesus' name. Miss Elsie's healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you for these right here, because you're a miracle worker. You're the healer. And so we depend on you to heal right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for removing sickness in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. From the top of her head to the soles of her feet, healed in Jesus' name. Take it all. It's yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Many feet have carried the gospel, and you are one that will. I'm going to anoint you with a fresh anointing, and it's going to begin to spill out like never before. Fresh oil for the upcoming days and the upcoming years. Thank you, Lord, for all of those on which this voice, the ears, will fall upon. The ears in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh. Glory. Okay. Sure. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that anointing, removing the burden and destroying the yoke. I speak the favor of God over this young lady, and I declare, I know you are on her side, Lord, and you make good things happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is that everyone? Praise the Lord. That's beautiful. It's glorious. Whew. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how many of you are here today? Amen. Some people come, but they're not here. Hi, Kay. Hey, sweetheart. Praise the Lord. That's family there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glad y'all are here. Is that John? Hi, John. Praise God. Well, let's receive our offering first. And we will go to 2 Corinthians 9. We got some good stuff today. Praise the Lord. Are y'all just like a little, whoo? Me too. The presence of the Lord is so strong right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I might have to move stuff around here. God is good. God is good. 2 Corinthians 9. Let's go to verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. Now, this is the Bible. And he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, every man according as he purposes in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. Now, I thought I would just, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this so that you could have this if you wanted to teach others about this. What is an offering? Let's just go back to primary here. What is an offering? Well, an offering is anything that we give to God beyond our tithe. Okay? That's beyond the tithe. The tithe is what is already God's. And we tithe with words. We tithe 10% of our finances to God. But the offering is above the tithe. So remember, the tithe will open the windows of heaven. And your offering establishes the measure God will use to give back to you through those open windows of heaven. Okay? So the tithe opens it, and then the measurement comes. You get to measure that. That's going to be up to you. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. But it said there, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, he's not forcing anybody.
Yeah.
He wants somebody to want to do it.
That's right.
You know, don't you appreciate it when somebody just loves you? You don't have to say, you better love me. You know, that doesn't work. Amen. I was watching Reba and Cheyenne and Van had a baby, Elizabeth, you know, and the baby was keeping them up all night. And so they were worn out. And so Reba kept the baby while they went out on a date, and they went out on the date and they're so tired and everything. And they start fighting over because she got baby corn and baby carrots and everything was about the baby. And then she's crying because she missed the baby. And then he starts crying because he feels guilty because he says, I don't like our baby. I don't like her and I feel guilty because you do. And then she goes, oh, and she gets out of the booth and go over and sits by him. I don't like her either. Now, they loved their baby.
Yep.
But they were tired.
Come on.
And so they had all these things piled up. So my point is emotions can get in the way. And sometimes you try to feel guilty because you think you don't love God because you think you're not doing enough. But you got to jump over all that.
Right.
Just have a relationship with him. He's your friend. Amen. Don't get all bogged down in a bunch of guilt.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, what it says here, the Apostle Paul in the verse, he's talking about the giver's heart. And the giver's heart regulates the size of the offering. Okay? You regulate the size. If you give a teaspoon, you're going to get a bunch of teaspoons back because it's the law of giving. It's the law of seed time and harvest. If you give a pickup truck load, you'll get a pickup truck blah blah yeah. back. Because it's hard to say pickup truck load. Whatever. If you give a lot, you get that multiplied. If you give a little, you get that much. But you're going to get multiplication no matter what. Church, that's the law. Seed time and harvest has been a law throughout the Bible forever. But it's up to you to decide the measurement.
Yes.
Will God call on you to give certain amounts sometimes? Yes, but it's still your decision. Right. You can say no. I wouldn't advise it, but you could, because what, if he does ask you for something, then he's actually thinking about the future that he's going to try to get a bunch of truckloads to you, right? But it still is your decision. So never get in that place where you're thinking that God is like, well, he wants everything. No, he wants you to have everything. This works like that. We get to do this. Your seed becomes your employee. Amen. So you purpose in your heart, and then Luke 6:38 kicks in. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it'll be measured back to you again. So the size of our offering determines the measure or rate that God uses to bless us. How about that victory by the foot? It's only $7 a square foot. You can buy everybody in the family a square foot and not, I mean, praise the Lord. How easy is that? Praise God. But when you give the $7 for a square foot in here, you know, Bonnie's grandson, he wanted to know which square foot was his when we bought the building. That was so cute. But then God multiplies that. Amen. Now, so how do you give a proper offering? Let's just go there. Well, you give willingly. I know there are people who beg for money, preachers that beg for money. We're never going to do that. God is our source. I know people that try to make people feel guilty. We're not going to do that. That's your business. I'm just telling you what's right biblically. You can do what you want with whatever I tell you. It's your choice. Life is choice driven. Okay? Now, so the thing about God that you have to get when you're giving willingly is he cares less about the size. Now, hear me out totally. Of your gift than the condition of your heart. He cares more about the condition of your heart because he loves the willing heart. So remember the woman, the widow that gave two mites? Well, that's all she had. So now if you've got $1 million and you give $5, that's not very impressive to God. But, you know, if Jesse had $5 and she gave $4.99 and Patty had $5,000 and she gave $4.99, who gave the most? Jesse. Yeah. See, it's about what's left over. You get that? It's about what's left over. That's how God sees it. Because what we're trying to do here is we give our offering to accomplish God's purpose. So, some Christians give with selfish motives. I know that. It's easy to deceive yourself. However, a proper offering always should be aimed at God's objectives. Always. What are we doing? What's going on? So your offering establishes your harvest then. That would be the next step. And then giving to God creates a double blessing. You fund his purpose and plant seed for that. It's the law. And the law of the harvest will bring back. It's a law. You need to believe that.
Right.
You need to believe that. It's in three gospels and all over Paul's writings. Amen. Now the principles of giving. Number one, give in the name of Jesus. Number two, pray over your gift and consecrate it to God's service. Lord, I'm giving this to you. It's like when we sowed all the seed that went to Living Word. Okay, by the way, they're putting those churches out. I think four in Dominican Republic. And we're a big part of that church. We're still rolling with them. We're still sending them funds. And my, did we get a mighty harvest off that? The church did. You can't outgive God. Amen. And so we got a harvest of that, I don't know if you noticed, but we have a new roof. The patch is fixed on the front. The side of the building is totally fixed. And a new floor is going to roll in here while we're at the convention. And we're looking at painting some walls and actually painting the ceiling in some of the rooms. So, and God's doing that. He's blessing us. As we're on purpose giving to the work of the ministry. Now, so, and you can do that privately. So give consistently in the hard times and the good times. Don't ever stop giving. Just keep giving. Well, I don't have enough to give. That's when you need to give. Find something to give and then you get a harvest and you'll click back into flowing. Before y'all were born, I was married into a family who owned a 550-acre ranch in Lakey, Texas. It's beautiful. It had a stream flowing right in front of the property, and we could just go out there and catch trout right in the front. But when you showed up to get the house going with water, you had to go out to the pump and do this, prime the pump. See, you have to prime the pump in your life. You get the flow going. You want some friends? Be friendly. You want some finances? Give. You want love? You love. Amen. You prime the pump. This is the way that God's system, this is the way the whole system works. Right now, if you say, oh, I don't believe any of that, it's working for you. Right now. Amen. So God's looking at your heart. He's not looking at your dollar amount. He determines your gift size by what you have left over. Even a penny given out of need. Yeah. If you gave a penny, Brother Copeland gave a pencil to get started. He didn't have any money and he gave a pencil and he put it in the offering and a lady chased him down and gave it $10 and he ran and caught the usher and said, wait a minute, give me my pencil back. And he put the $10 in. God answered him that fast. And then he kept rolling and rolling until he was able to have one of the biggest ministries in the world and help more people than anybody I've ever seen. So, great abundance. Amen? So that's what we're doing. We're sowing. We're tithers, and we sow, and we get an abundance. Amen. Father, we thank you for the offering today. We thank you for all of those who tithe. Their windows of heaven is definitely open. And we thank you for the good measure coming back to our people. We thank you for blessing them. You said you would bless them with the seed. They don't even have to come up with the seed. You come up with the seed and you find a way to give it to them. So all we have to do is ask ourselves, is this bread or is this seed? And you show us that. We sow and then the good harvest comes back to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, brothers. Hallelujah. If you would like to give a text message, you can text VCHL in the amount you want to give, 73256. Click that link and you'll find the way to give online. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, just before we start, I'm going to tell you the church is probably going to look a little rough for about a month. Because we're going to have to grind the floors down and take the doors off. So we would really appreciate it if nobody complains about how it looks for about a month. Because you're going to walk in here and it's going to be beautiful. But, you know, we have to do the work. And so anyway, praise the Lord. It's going to be great. Amen. All right, let's go over to Matthew 6:9. We're going to do something special today. I already feel like we're in heaven right now. Feels good in here. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer, right? Everybody good? Okay. Are you there? Okay, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven. Where's Father? He's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so God is, Father God is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Holy Spirit's on the earth. In you. Okay, now, The word here said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how's heaven? What's heaven like then? How do we know if we're having heaven on earth? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Well, we know there's no tempter there. Yep, right. We know there's no trouble there. Yeah. We know it's a real place. But how is it? So that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about heaven. It's a real place. You probably heard this scripture more at funerals than anywhere else, but I'm telling you, it is a good scripture right now. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Is that like the boats roaring up? The boat races. Whoop, whoop. Okay. I'll talk loud. No. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Does Jesus tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay. I go to prepare a place for you. He's getting it ready. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he's not going to be preparing a place if we weren't coming. That's when you clean your house the most, is when we're all coming over, right? They get everything, pick everything up because someone's coming over, right? Only in this case, this would be more like when you prepared for the baby coming. You had to do the whole nursery. You fixed it all up. But this is way bigger than that because God right now is creating a dwelling place for you in the heavenly realm. Amen. So it's a real place. That the word mansions there actually means dwelling places. Yeah. Now, if you are a born again believer, not that you believe Jesus exists, but you're a born again believer, the demons believe in Jesus and they tremble. But a born again believer has said with their mouth, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that he is my Lord and I accept him. When you do that, things change. And I'll talk about that in just a second. The Apostle John wrote about heaven. Apostle Paul wrote about heaven. And then what we've seen is witnesses that went to heaven. Some people had a near-death experience, or that they could have been got sick or in a wreck or something, and they went out for a little while and came back. We know about stuff like that. And then we have people who were actually taken. The Apostle Paul, John was taken, and Jesse Duplantis was taken. There was no injury to him. He was just taken while he was down praying. He was taken. And then we have, we had a close friend who's now back in heaven, but Brother Gary Wood was in a car wreck and went to heaven and was there for a while. And then his sister called him back and Jesus told him, you got to go back. And so he came back and preached heaven always. And y'all have met him here. He used to come preach here. He called me sis. Hey, sis. Anyway, so we have record of people seeing heaven and then people who've had visions of heaven. I've had visions of heaven. I know something about it, and some of you have as well. So what about it? Well, I'm going to say things to you that I've said to you before for the next couple of minutes. I planted them in you, and now I'm going to water them. Okay? Because you got to water what you hear, right? So, heaven is light speed up. You were born again, according to Hebrews 10, it says that when you were born again, you were illuminated. Right. In other words, light came in.
Yeah.
Okay. It hit you at above 186,000 miles a second inside your spirit. Your spirit was shut off, but then you lit up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you were different.
Yeah.
You were kind of like, wow. This is a different thing. And then when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, you really went up, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to go there right now. So, but heaven came, a part of heaven came into you. God, his realm came into you. The realm, the invisible realm is still a realm, and it's here right now. The molecular structure of that realm is different than our molecular structure. We're mud. You know, we're made out of mud. We're water, so many parts water and so many parts dirt. Right? Read the Bible. And so, but when Jesus was resurrected, it didn't say that he came back as flesh and blood. But he did come back flesh and bone in a glorified body. So then he's that energy body. He's the molecular up. That's why he walked through the wall and they all went, "Ooh, my Lord and my God." Right?
Yeah.
They said, well, actually Thomas said that. But when the spirit world comes into this world, they have to slow down. They could walk through our walls because they're on a higher level in the quantum realm. But they're real. But in heaven, they're not walking through walls because all of that is sped up.
Up
in that place,
yeah.
It's like we are here, except a whole lot better.
Right.
But it's tangible.
True.
Everybody's real. Everybody's tangible. Even those right now that we buried their bodies and their spirits went, they're tangible there. Their spirits are tangible there. One day they're going to come back and get the body. Mm-hmm. How are they going to get so-and-so's body? They were cremated. Same way they're going to get the ones out of the ground. God made it in the first place. He put it all back together. There's no difference there. Okay, now, from dust you came? Amen? So, okay, now, so their molecules are really fast. Now, I want to read you a bit of a story about a man who went to heaven. And I know that someone's going to run up here and ask me where I got this book. And I don't know that you can get it anymore, but it's called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. And I've had this book since I lived in Reedville, Texas, next door to Debbie. And actually, this is a new copy that I got about 20 years ago. I had that other one. It fell apart. But I want you, this is a man, I think he was a Russian man. His name is Seneca Sodai. He was laying in his bed and angels came to his house and got him. And what he did was he experienced heaven, and then he met a man named Elwood Scott who he gave him notes to write down what happened. So let me just give you just a little taste of what he said. Now, they picked him up and he called it, this was a long time ago in history. So he said they picked him up in a chariot that seemed to be alive. Okay. So now he's come through, he's seen some things coming through, coming into paradise. And this is what he's saying right now. I looked around. We were just entering a region of bright clouds, something like glorious, glowing, earthly sunset, only far superior. The time had been very brief indeed, but we were actually slowing up in the great suburbs of the eternal kingdom. "Listen a moment," I said to the angel. "What music do I hear? Is it real or am I in imagination?" "It's the song of the redeemed in heaven you hear. All the heavenly kingdom is full of music without a discord." Isn't that awesome? Nobody hits the wrong chord. Nobody plays out of pocket. Nobody's out of pitch. Woo, I'm looking forward to that. "Now, are we near the gates of the city?" "Very near to the portals of paradise," he said. At this, the angels bowed their heads and covered their faces with their hands while I fell flat on my face in the chariot. Did you see what they did? They covered. Every time you would sing holy today, I thought about that. How they respect, the angels respect the presence of God, respect God. "Stillness reigned in our souls, but deep emotions began to heave in my breast. I felt I must break the silence by shouting the praises of God. The angels now began to sing with a sweet voice, 'Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, thou King of saints.' I sprang to my feet and for a moment seemed perfectly bewildered with what met my gaze in every direction. The light was so transparent and far exceeding the most perfect day earth ever afforded. Clusters of heavenly flowers were growing everywhere. Groves of beautiful trees loaded with fruit along the magnificent flowering shrubs, beautiful beyond description, met my eye in all directions. Roadways like winding streets arranged with exquisite taste and beauty were penetrating this pleasure ground of glory. Lovely souls were coming and going, passing and repassing each other with the salutations and courtesies that heaven only knows. The chariot was now slowing its speed, and such raptures of glory which filled my soul, I cannot describe them. I was simply lost in wonder while I kept saying, 'Surely I am home at last.' The chariot seemed trembling as a thing of life and finally halted beside a beautiful grove of fruit-laden trees. The doors were opened and the angel stepped out. I fairly sprang with one leap to the solid foundations of heavenly kingdom. For a moment, I stood perfectly entranced as I saw so many happy souls clothed in white garments of lovely patterns, with all which such bright and happy faces beaming with perfect contentment and satisfaction. I could contain my feelings no longer. I fell on my face beside the angel and with loud thanksgiving to God and was in the act of worshiping the angel for great care and kindness he showed toward me when he said, 'Worship God only. I'm a fellow servant of his, and this is my joyous service.'" At that, he beckoned to one nearby He came and was introduced as one of the elders of heaven, who gave me such a cordial welcome that my soul loved him intensely at once. The angel now said, I leave you here in his care, but may see you again shortly. I put my hand toward him, saying, I'm so sorry to see you go. You have been such a friend to me, but what can I do for you? What can I do for your great kindness to me? Oh, you can soon help others, said the angel. So waving with his hand and with a loving smile, he said goodbye, and his chariot was gone. Now the elder said, well, my son, you're at home. All that you see, infinitely more, is the provision of your heavenly Father's love and almighty power. This is the borderland, my son, of the heavenly domain. Your sacrifices on earth were little compared to the great gains here. And so that's just them. That was them introducing him to where he was. So he's in wonder all this time. Okay, now, so as the story goes, his mother shows up. This is cool. Are y'all, is this okay?
Oh, yeah.
If y'all don't like it, y'all just wait for me and I'll enjoy it. And get, no. Okay. So now he meets his mother. Now I'm just going to kind of run through this, but what happened was that he had a child that died at birth. So he's wants to know something about that. Well, dear mother, I'm glad that you brought my child to me, but will you tell me something about the law of growth and development in heaven, from that of a tiny infant to the maturity and development which I see before me? So the kid grew up. Well, you know that the trees of life have 12 kinds of fruit adapted to all needs of the human soul. One of the guys said when he went to heaven that the fruit tasted like ice cream. There's no lack of opportunity, for the means of knowledge and instruction are abundantly offered here according to the growing demands of each soul. Yet the growth and development of each depends upon its own efforts. But there are few idle people in heaven, and yet traits of character developed on earth. Now listen to this. There are few idle people in heaven, and yet traits of character developed on earth during the formative period of life continue with us here, unless they are changed or overcome during the probationary state. Okay. Everyone has his identity and peculiar characteristics developed during his life. So you're you.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going to turn to an angel.
Right.
You're you. And whatever you're doing right now is helping where you're going to start in heaven. That's what they're talking about. If an individual was careless and indolent in his earthly life, the same tendencies continue here with him. You thought you were going to be all good, but there is, however, no such thing as a stubborn or an obstinate spirit among all these children in heaven. Every will bows in sweet harmony with God, but some may make more rapid advancement than others, which depends upon their exertions and energy. So just like whatever you exert here, and as far as you know the Lord here, that's how fast it's going to go there. And I'll just tell you, some people are going to start in kindergarten when they get there.
Yeah.
And then some people are going to know. From what I've heard and what I've people have witnessed, my understanding is that people, when they leave, they come into what's called paradise. And when they get to paradise, Abraham will meet them. And there's loads of, sometimes it looks like they're coming off a ship or something and people are waiting. There'll be people waiting to meet them. When Miss Kathy went, people were waiting to greet her. Brian was there. People were just waiting. Virginia was there. Your family, you know. And so, but what happens is you go there and then your soul, depending on how you lived on earth, your soul will have to catch up with the wonder of heaven. And so she's going to tell about that, and I'm just going to go on over there. Well, I'm just going to tell you. Let me just tell you. In paradise, the river is there, and also trees with every kind of fruit. We talked about that. And the leaves there, it says for the healing of the nations. Mm-hmm. So you partake of these trees in this river and it begins to change your soul so you can adapt to the beauty and wonder of heaven. Because when you first get there, you're going to be falling down on your face a lot because of the power of God. Yeah. Now, if you worshiped God on earth and you got in his presence a lot, you're going to be able to handle more power. Does that make sense? You're already used to. You're already used to some of his presence. But anyway, that's what happened. Now, just a quick minute on this. This is called to families after someone goes to heaven. So Rebecca's brother-in-law takes her to the river. Now, you'll like this. When we reached the brink of the river a few steps away, I found that the lovely field ran even to the water's edge. So she's in a beautiful place. In some places, I saw flowers blooming placidly down in the depths among the many colored pebbles with which the entire bed of the river was lined. I want you to see these beautiful stones, said Frank, stepping into the water and urging me to do the same. I drew back timidly. See, there's the soul. See, she's drawing back like, oh, I don't know. And he says, she says, I fear it's cold. He says, not in the least. He said with a reassuring smile, come. Just as I am, I asked, glancing down at my lovely robe, which to my great joy I found with similar to those of the dwellers in that happy place. Just as you are, he said. So she's got on this robe. She don't want to get it wet. And with another reassuring, she's ready to go. So she stepped down into the river, and both temperature and density almost identical to the air. So it's like the air. Deeper and deeper grew the stream as we passed on until I felt the soft, sweet ripples playing about my throat. As I stopped, Frank said, a little further. It'll be over my head, I reasoned. Well, and what then? I can't breathe under the water. I'll suffocate. An amused twinkle came in his eyes, though he said soberly enough, we do not do those things here. Isn't that good? I realized the absurdity of my position, and with a happy laugh said, all right. Then I plunged headlong into the bright water, which soon bubbled and rippled several feet above my head. To my surprise and delight, I found that I could breathe, laugh, talk, see, and hear as naturally under the water as above it. I sat down in the midst of the many colored pebbles and filled my hands with them as a child would have. My brother-in-law lay down upon them, and as he would have done on the green field, and laughed and talked joyously with me. Do this, he said, rubbing his hands over his face and running his fingers through his dark hair. I did as he told me, and the sensation was delightful. I threw back my loose sleeves and rubbed my arms, then my throat. Again, I thrust my fingers through my long, loose hair, thinking at the time how tangled it would be when I left the water. Then the thought came as we at last arose to return. What are we to do for towels? For the earth thoughts still clung to me. See, earth thoughts are still clinging. Okay. And I also wondered if the lovely robe was entirely spoiled. But as we neared the shore and emerged from the water, the moment the air struck my face and hair, I realized that I would not need a towel or a brush. My flesh, my hair, and even my beautiful garments were soft and dry as before the water touched them. Isn't that cool? So these are all of these stories, all of these things in here. She gives them. Like she was there for a long time. He was there for a really long time. And then, of course, you've heard what Brother Jesse said. He talked with the Apostle Paul and Jonah and a lot of people. He met with them and talked to them. So what am I doing? Trying to get you to feel that when you leave here, you're leaving. You're not dying dead. You're just going to slip over, take off this flesh, and immediately step into the presence of the Lord, into paradise, and then they will work with you there, and you'll start moving toward the holy city. And somewhere along the way, the Master will visit you. Amen. And you know what he says when he walks into your house? Peace be to this house. We talked about that last week, Wednesday night. Peace be to this house. Shalom. Those are his words. Amen. Jesus, and when you see Jesus, if I beat you there, you're going to go, Jesus, and you're going to look down at his ankles, and I'm going to have him like, no. God is good, isn't he? I hope you enjoyed that, and I'm sure some of you have read stuff like that. But I'm telling you that this place is going to be wonderful. And whoever you already have there is enjoying it. If you have a miscarriage, your baby's grown up and protected there. They're going to meet you there. If mom and them are there, daddy's there, who's ever there, they're going to meet you there. It's going to be good. You're just going to get back together. Yep. All will be well. Yep. And eternity is so different than here. Miss Kathy left in May, right? Okay. She's only been there for a few minutes according to heaven's time, right? Yep. Now here we're like, wow, she's already been gone a month. But there, it's just really fast, really slow. I mean, by the time we get there, they're like, oh, okay, you got here quick. They're going to think we got there quick. Wow. Amen. Yeah. It's good. It's good. And you're like, oh, aren't we ever going to get bored? Oh, honey. All the fun that you've had here, if I could just stay it in the natural world, it's going to be way over steroids.
Yeah.
You think you could snow ski good here? You're going to be a hot dog there. You think you like hunting and stuff like, oh, the animals are going to walk right up to you. You probably don't want to kill them there. But anyway, but you'll be with them and you'll, you know, praise the Lord. And that river is the river of life. That comes from the throne of the Lamb. And so when you get in the river, it changes you. People that left earth after some cruelty or something, or they maybe murdered somebody or something, they want them to go to the river right away because it washes off all of the old junk.
Yeah.
There was a man who went and he stayed hidden in paradise for a while and they let him. He just was hiding out in a place. And they were like, well, we need to help this guy. What's wrong with him? Well, he murdered his mother. And he does not want to, he doesn't feel like he's worthy to move forward into the city. He doesn't want to go to the throne. And so they said, you know what, we can fix this. So they wanted to get him to the river, so they went and got his mother. And his mother's like, son, no, that's, and it all got washed away. And he got in the river, everything got washed away, and he was able to move right into his home. These are real things. Okay. Praise the Lord. So, when you leave, it's going to be just like taking off an overcoat.
Yep.
Not going to hurt. Not going to feel bad. I'll tell you this. If you had someone who was in an accident, they left before it hurt.
Yes.
I know that. I know that. So, Brother Copeland's brother-in-law, a lady, Gloria's sister, no, Gloria's brother died in a wreck. Mm-hmm. They were at a meeting, and this lady came up to Kenneth and said, I got to tell you something. I had a near-death experience, and while I was there, there was a guy there who said, tell Gloria I didn't feel a thing. And she reported that to him. I'm not going to go into the whole story. Y'all know it. But anyway, it's all good.
Yep.
Pain will be forever gone.
Yes.
All kinds of pain.
All kinds.
Amen. Now, the coming of the Lord. See, you're either going to go in the rapture or you're going to go by what we call the grave. You're going to go one of those two ways. The rapture of the church will be the next event that we will see. And the return of the Lord comes in two parts, the rapture of the church and then the second coming. And so I'm going out on the first load.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And so most of us here will probably see the rapture the way things are looking. Once the Great Awakening is done and all the people are gathered in, Jesus will return. But then there's a second coming, and there's more opportunity during the tribulation for people to get saved and for God to deal with the Jews. But at the first rapture, the people in heaven are going to come back and get their bodies, and we're going in our bodies. At the second resurrection, people that didn't get saved are going to come back into their bodies, and they're going to the judgment. Okay? That's how that works. You going to heaven.
That's right.
Amen. All right. Just wanted to fill that in. Now, three things we need to realize as we're headed down the path here. You're a citizen of heaven right now.
Amen.
Okay? Right now, you're a citizen of heaven, and you have rights. You have heavenly rights. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And Ephesians 2:19 says, "For therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and of the household of God." So you have kingdom rights. Absolutely kingdom rights. You have kingdom authority. Amen. That's the second thing. The first thing is that you're a citizen of heaven. The second thing is that you have the authority of heaven. You have been placed in a higher position. You have authority over principalities and powers. Right now, as a born-again Christian, you've been given another place. And you need to understand that. Ephesians says that God raised Jesus and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all the church, which is the body. So that's us, right? And so the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then the next scripture says, and he raised us up together with Christ. And so we're raised up there. Authority is delegated power. Am I right? A policeman who directs traffic can raise their hand and stop a car. They're not using their own strength to stop the car. They're using delegated authority or delegated power. Yeah. The value of authority rests on the power behind it. You have the power of heaven behind you right now. There are Christians all over this earth that never bother to think about this or use it. But you have the authority of heaven on your side right now. You're like, well, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I just, you know, things are, I don't know, you know, it just seemed like the devil just beating up on me. I said you have authority from heaven. Heaven will back you up. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Yeah, but that's all the way up in heaven. Is it sending? No. Heaven is the realm. It's around us.
Yes.
There's a part of it that's around us right now. In you, around you, especially when the presence of God comes in, like he's in this room right now. When prophecy happens, that's an encounter coming out. When preaching happens, that's an encounter coming out. These are visitations of God. And a lot of times we just think we're coming to church, try to hear someone's going to say something that we might like, that we can do some self-improvement with. But that's not what this is all about. This is about God imparting word and feeding word into your spirit, speaking power into you. You take time to worship God when they lead you in worship. You're starting to reverberate with power. And then use the power. Use that power for that immune system.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
All right. And then the last thing, we're ambassadors. An ambassador is the highest rank diplomat agent who represents his own country in a foreign land. We represent heaven. You represent heaven, right?
You go to other countries, when you get to the embassy, everything's awesome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's who you are, and you're an ambassador. In other words, you have something to give. You have heaven to give to people. It belongs to you. And you give it away. See, if you'll start doing right now what you're going to do in heaven, you're going to have the best success of your life. It's called service. It's about serving people. It's about loving people. It's about taking care of God's house and then taking care of other people. Amen. This is what we do. We're right now working with heaven. We're working with the spirits of just men made perfect. Who are those? Those are the people that apprehended what they were apprehended for. They were told what to do on earth by God. They fulfilled it. The Apostle Paul did. He said he was satisfied. And once he fulfilled that, he has a place in heaven. It's different than the General Assembly. Can you see how things work? The General Assembly are people that went to heaven, but they're having to work there. Amen. Get everything you can get here, church. And here's the thing. You shouldn't live like hell on earth. Have heaven on earth. Well, I don't know if that's possible. Yeah, it is. I'm telling you, it's absolutely possible to live heaven on earth. Storms in life come from three places: your disobedience, other people's decisions, and the world system. But there is a way above all those things. If you make a mistake, repent, correct it, and move on. Don't sit around in a bunch of condemnation. Amen? If other people cause something to go wrong in your life, forgive them, pray for them, and move forward, and you'll come on out of that. The world system, you just have to say no to it, and use that authority we just talked about. Use that authority over it. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. That's our faith scripture here. We overcome the world system. I don't care how dark it gets. We're not dark. The lights are on in Goshen, church. We're living the heavenly life. Amen? Today you may not know if you're going to heaven or not. But if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is your Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you will be born again and you will go to heaven. Or today you may feel like you need some heaven on earth. There's a way to do that. Just make him Lord of your life, not just your Savior. Millions of people right now, Jesus is their Savior. They show up and make their little mark because they came to church, but he's not the Lord of their life. When he becomes the Lord of your life, he'll show you the pathway to everything that is good. Yeah, he will. Maybe you've been void of power. I think we've already talked about that. Worship God. Worship God. He's got the power, and the power's in you. Turn it up. Turn it up. Amen. Is that power important? As an ambassador, it's important. Because if you can have somebody out there and you run into somebody that needs you, if you run into someone that needs to be raised from the dead, you're either going to say, well, God bless them, or the power's going to come. Now, people have their own choice. If they decide they want to go, they're going to go. But sometimes in accidents and things like that, you might be the one that needs to help them. Or something broke can be fixed. Amen. Whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Power. The power of heaven. As an ambassador, as a citizen, the authority of heaven. Get out, devil. Get out, lack. Get out, ignorance. Get flesh, shut up. You're going. You're going to do this. You're going to see, look, you have to stir your own self up. God's not going to, the angels are not going to come to your house next Sunday morning and say, honey, do you think you'd like to go serve the Lord today, or would you rather sleep in? Stir yourself up, God will meet it. He'll meet it. He loves the servant. That's your total way to success. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here. I pray for heaven on earth for them. In the name of Jesus, I declare right now that every person in the sound of my voice would understand that they are an ambassador, that they are a citizen, that heaven is real, that one day they're going to go there, that their family members are there, they're alive and well. Every child that went early is happy there. The people are happy there. They're not suffering. I pray that every tragedy would just be removed from them today. Any false grief is removed in Jesus' name. And I declare that we all look forward to the future in the name of Jesus. And I declare that here on earth that they make a commitment to let you be Lord of their life so that they can be blessed beyond what they have known so far. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are here today just for the last few minutes of the service here. We're going to take a few minutes and honor our Miss Kathy Headley. And so that's why we wanted to talk to you about heaven, because we wanted you to know that's where Miss Kathy is. And I'm telling you, she's having a ball. And so I'm just so blessed. Now, this absolutely, some of her family is here. This is absolutely is not intended to take the place of y'all's family celebration and what we'll come to with y'all, but we just wanted for the church to have some closure and also to just celebrate Miss Kathy for all that she's done for us. Miss Kathy showed up at Victory at a garage sale. We were giving away hot dogs. And she walked up there, hi, and she never left. And we're so grateful to have Miss Kathy. She has just been a joy in our lives. So she was children's minister here, and she was our doggy sitter. She would come sit with Annie and Boone, and she also sat with Gracie and Mackie. And so just a blessing to us always. And I know a lot of you have stories about Miss Kathy, and we've asked a few people to come up and give us some of those stories. And I just want to say this before we watch the, we have a little slideshow for you to see. Miss Kathy's great mother, great grandmother, her children are Kay, Clint, Clay, and Malia. And she has one grandchild in heaven, I believe, Brian, and then many still here on earth. Praise the Lord for that. And I know that they miss her. We miss her. But these guys are a strong family. They're a God family. Miss Kathy raised her kids right, and they know how to take care of things. They're a blessing, and so we're blessed to have them in our lives as well. Miss Kathy was born on February 27th, 1950, and transferred to heaven on May 6th of 2024. And here's some pictures of Miss Kathy. If someone will get the lights, we're going to show you Happy Kathy. Praise the Lord. Miss Kathy's always happy. And she had good reason to be, because she knew who her Lord and Savior is. And she's happy right now and much more alive than we are.
That's right.
Amen. What a blessing. So three friends, if Rachel and Miss Johnice and Vivian will come up. I understand that the three of you are going to say something about Miss Kathy. Praise the Lord. Yes. Hector, will you turn that picture around? I apologize. I was going to do that when we started. So this is a picture of Miss Kathy that we did a children's play, and she was, of course, one of the stars.
Thank you. John's like, don't cry. I just want to say that her family was her pride, her joy. She always talked about her family. And every time we came to church, she'd tell me, I love you, Rachel. I love your family. She practically raised my first three kids. And then when I adopted the five, she just loved them. And she'd always hug them and let them know that she loved them. And my two oldest boys, I think she was closest to them, especially Matthew, because he was the one that seemed to be always in trouble. And she's like, I'm always praying for him. me, her, and Virginia would celebrate our birthdays together because they were so close. And we were probably the closest three together. We would always pray together. We'd come on Tuesdays and pray together. She, of course, was Happy Kathy. I never saw her cry. I did see her angry sometimes, but not to the point that she couldn't overcome that anger. And she brought herself to the joy to overcome that. She was sad sometimes. She'd always say, let's come to an agreement in prayer. And she would overcome anything that made her sad. I remember we would minister to a friend of mine that I worked with. And she told her, I'll never forget, she said, no matter how upset you are, how sad you are, just remember this one thing. I remember she told her, she said, I would go into ministry or go into this thing whenever I wasn't in the mood. I didn't want to do it. She said, but I did this. I am happy. I'm gritting my teeth, but I'm happy. I am joyful. And then before too long, I'm happy. I'm joyful. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. I'm happy. She said, even if you have to grit your teeth until you get to that point, you just do it. And so I'll never forget that, because that helped me too. And it helped my friend, and she would continue to do that. And so it helped her. And that friend of mine, every time she would see me and she would see Kathy when she worked at Walmart, she would call us her two angels, because that helped her overcome her sadness and her pain. And I just wanted to say those things about Miss Kathy. No matter where she was, she would give me a hug. I love you. Thank you for standing in agreement with my family and my shortcomings, because it helps me to remember that I'm always joyful.
Thank you for letting me speak. Kathy knew who she was in Christ. She knew who she was in Christ. And you know, she had a loving kindness about her that she went around sprinkling that loving kindness on everyone. I don't know that I ever saw her ever meet a stranger. She just loved people. She loved them. And though she's working on the other side, we know that she's where she's supposed to be right now, with God. And there is peace. Peace for the family. Shalom, shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing.
Well, I came to know Kathy in 2014, 2015, when she broke her knee, I believe, and Deb called me and said, could she stay at your home while she's convalescing with her knee? And I said, surely. And so she came, and unbeknownst to me, I had been knowing her for probably since my 20s and didn't realize it. I put it all together when she came to stay with me. And I had known her in Houston and seen her many times, but we never really met and became friends or anything. Then when we moved here from Houston, my husband and I went to another church where she and her daughters went, and we'd see her there. And in passing, we'd, you know, hug each other or say hello. And then we started coming to Victory. And she was here, and I went, I know her. I remember her from Houston and from the other church. And so about a week before Miss Deb called me, I was praying to the Lord. And I said, you know, I had a friend named Vivian when I was in first grade. And I've been looking for another friend like that ever since. So what are you doing? I'm getting older now. And there was a special connection, you know, like you do get with some people. Different parts of them and the Holy Spirit meet you. And there's a connection. And you know that it's special. And that's the special friend that I sought. So in my kitchen, after she came, she started telling me about her life and how when she was born, they didn't expect her to live, but that her mother named her Vivian, which meant life. And I'm going, okay, thank you, Lord. But as we spent more time together, the Lord knitted those commonalities together. The platitudes of our generation were the same. And we'd have conversation, and the same platitudes would come up out of our mouth. Or the same songs, like Pastor does. Sometimes she'll mention a song from whenever, in decades before. Those were special hookups. Special hookups with our children. You know, the love that we had for our children and the prayers that we prayed for our children. And how our mothers were alike and our fathers were alike. And the similarities were just stark and just amazing to us. And so we knew that God had made a divine appointment when he made our paths to cross. And that she was a special, special person in my life that made me laugh. We liked the same movies. We completed our sentences, each other's sentences, and laughed a whole lot. And so we knew each other as special friends. And what's more important is that we knew who the most special friend was, the truest friend we could ever have, and that was Jesus. And we shared him. That was the most special thing that we shared, the very most special thing. And if your friendships don't have him, you don't really have a friend. Thank my God for her. She was my joy.
Amen. That's beautiful. You want to say something about Miss Kathy?
Okay.
I just want to thank God for her, the most amazing ministry that woman of God had. Way back there in Lake Jackson for decades and decades, she taught hundreds, maybe thousands of little children and watch them grow up in the goodness of God and the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And she had kids, if I'm not mistaken, that were grown and came back to her and said, what you taught me molded my life. What you taught me, I'm now able to go and teach others and make a difference in their lives. And you know, her ministry keeps going on and on and on. Praise God. Amen.
So, Miss Kathy is no chicken. So, you know, Miss Kathy worked at Walmart. And so, you know, at Walmart, if now, this is not for thieves to hear this, but if someone steals something from Walmart, they let them run with it because it's too dangerous. Or it was at the time. They may not do that now, but they were walking out with stuff, and the employees there were told never chase anyone. Just let them go. Not Miss Kathy. She saw someone head out the door with something they didn't pay for. She is chasing them all the way through the parking lot.
Yep.
The manager's chasing Miss Kathy. You bring that back. She's not a chicken woman. Yeah. People at Walmart would change lines if they saw Miss Kathy because they wanted to be checked out by Miss Kathy. They wanted that God that's on her. Isn't that awesome? What a legacy you guys have. Would y'all like to, are you good? You want to say something? All good? Everybody good? We love y'all. We love your mother. We're all going to share eternity together. It's going to be awesome. I'm just so grateful to know every one of y'all. Such a blessing. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand up and we're going to go out of here. You love Miss Kathy?
Yes.
I'm sure that the angels are telling her that we're celebrating her today. And God is so good. So, it's going to be a great week. I'm headed out to a tent meeting.
Yeah.
And so, Mr. Hector and Patty are going to take care of y'all this week. I'll be back next Sunday. And then we'll have some more fun. But you're going to have a lot of fun. You know how these guys are. It's just going to be great. And so be sure and pray for us. Danny and Jordan and Paisley are going, and me and Deb are going. And so we'll go out there and straighten Jim Ritchie out. If you're watching right now, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And so anyway, guys, good. Yeah, we'll be on Facebook live stream Monday and Tuesday night. And it's always good. God is good. I love to go to the radio station there.
Oh, it's so fun.
So much fun to go. The guy's so cool out there. But anyway, God is good. So I know you're going to have a great week. Anyone traveling, you're going to be safe. All is well. You're protected everywhere you go. You're prosperous everywhere you go, right? Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the...
9 o'clock.
Hold on.
For Father's Day.
Oh, come at 9, daddies, yes, fathers.
Yes.
We're going to feed you at 9 next Sunday morning. It's going to be good.
Yes.
So be sure and come and bring another father you know. Sheep begat sheep. So invite somebody to come.
Amen.
And we'll have a good old time. And Hector's going to receive the offering on that day in a manly way.
Yes.
And you know what we're going to talk about? Father.
Amen.
Let's talk about Father. Amen. All right. So ready now?
Yeah.
Go. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.